Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and we're going to get after a couple questions that I had gotten this week on Instagram, as well as an email question, and there's some overlap between these three different people that have reached out to me this week that I thought was interesting and I wanted to address. So first of all, if you have a question, Instagram is probably the easiest place for you. Just shoot me a direct message. It's pretty easy for me to respond in that. And if I see some common threads when I get questions, I'll typically do a podcast episode about it. So this one has to do with the idea of personal training. And if you should implement personal training as part of what you offer as a provider, which I think is an interesting question. And I've now seen this with a few people in our mastermind group that do this successfully. And I'll kind of give you my opinion on training and where it fits. So to give you some context, my background, when I was a PT, or when I was in undergrad, before I went to PT school, I was a personal trainer for 2 years at a golf retirement community in Atlanta called Reynolds Plantation. And this is a like super high-end golf retirement community on a lake. I was close to where I was going to school, so I would drive there, like 45-minute drive or whatever, for a couple years. It was a great job. Learned a ton. I think having a background in personal training helped me significantly with our cash practice when I started it. But what I can tell you is, you know, and I referenced this, I referenced this in my book, Fuck Insurance. If you haven't got a copy of that, by the way, head to finsurancebook.com and you can actually get a copy of that for free. All I got to do is pay shipping and handling. I'll send it to you and you get your hands on that bad boy. But actually go over some of the things that I learned when I was there. In particular, I learned a lot about what people were willing to pay. You know, so when I was there, I was a trainer and we would charge $100 a session. And at the time, you know, I was 20 years old and had no really advanced degree. I was working on my first degree. I knew very little about programming and training or anything, but yet people were totally down to pay me for that because that's what the rate was at the facility, at the wellness facility they had on the property, right? So, you know, I look back on that and I think, man, I was seeing people that were paying, I don't know, $900,000 a month or so. I'd work with them, you know, three times a week. And some people I worked with like for years. So, you know, people will definitely pay for that. And even looking here in Atlanta, I was kind of doing a quick search, you know, like, I mean, I've found personal trainers in Atlanta that charge, you know, $200+ an hour, you know, per session. And it's not necessarily a couple sessions like they would do, you know, with us. So the element of recurring training, I think, has a place depending on your background and your interest. So having done personal training in the past, I'm not really interested in training people anymore. I don't really want to I really don't want to do that. You know, I prefer to help solve a problem, educate, teach, and then pass off to somebody else that I trust that is interested in doing that. Now, that being said, there's a couple people in our mastermind group that do this really well, and they basically transition people from injury resolution, you know, solving a problem, to training right afterward, and they have this amazing continuity model in place that basically moves people over to training. It might be 1 to 3 times a week, depending on what this person's goal is, but it's a great way to retain business and create recurring revenue within a business model. Now, Though there's a couple caveats to why I'm bringing this up. Number one, the biggest mistake that I see is that people undervalue their time as a in a wellness performance training role compared to their when they put their PT hat on and they're solving like an injury. So if you charge, let's say $200 a session as a PT, but then you charge $100 a session as a personal trainer, you're charging half what you could make if you were working all those hours as a PT. Also, here's the other question I would pose to you, and this is what you have to think about before you go and you do something like this. Why is an hour of your time working on taking somebody through a training session where you're really doing, you know, movement education, you're getting the heart rate up, you're improving mobility, you're working on end range control, you're getting them stronger, all these positive things, which we also do in PT, like traditional PT, wherever that delineation between those two is, I don't know, but why is it worth less for you to do something like that than it is whenever you are doing physical therapy visits? And the question I typically get is like, well, that's just what the market dictates. Well, no, you dictate what you're going to charge for people based on a service you're going to provide. So if you're going to do training, then make sure that you have continuity in what your price point is, as well as what you're doing. So if it's an hour of your time, it should be relatively the same. You know, equivalent, because it's an hour is an hour, and don't undervalue what you're worth. Also, I see this a lot with people with evals and follow-ups. And every time I ask somebody this, it's like, why do you charge less for your follow-up than you do for your eval? Well, that's the way that insurance companies do it. Yes, it is. And that's why you shouldn't do it, because it's what they tell you is the way to bill. But that's not necessarily, there's really no reason why. They just assume that they need to pay you less for a follow-up visit. When in actuality, it's still the same amount of your time, whether it's the eval or the follow-up. So if you are charging less for your follow-up than an eval, just stop right now. Just make it even across the board. And then all of a sudden, your profitability improves. Now, so not to get off on a tangent, but it's really about understanding what your value, you know, per time domain is worth per hour. So if you decide you want to go the route of where you want to do training, awesome. Make sure that you are charging what you're worth to do that, and that understand it's very valuable. There's people like me at 20 years old charging $100 a session, you know, with no education whatsoever. You should be charging significantly more than I was to work with some people trying to play tennis and golf or whatever, you know, in their retirement ages. So as far as training goes, to answer your question, yes, I do think training has a place in the business model, assuming you like to do it and that you structure it in a way where it's worth your time. The other thing that is also commonly asked is about digital programming. So people that want you to then program for them remotely after you work with them. And go figure that these people will latch onto you because all of a sudden you've helped them with something they've probably been frustrated with for a really long time. And they want to continue to try to make gains and progress back towards these things that they really enjoy or activities they really enjoy. So digital programming may be an option as well. And again, you have to look at what your time is worth, how long something like that is going to take you. You know, so if you're going to put a custom program together and it's going to take you 2 hours, well, you really need to charge what 2 hours of your time is worth. So as you look at this stuff, just don't undervalue yourself with these additional services. You have to look at like what your time is worth, because it's an opportunity cost that you're missing out on. If you're doing programming for 2 hours, instead of being able to see, let's say, two patient visits, and let's say you can make $200 an hour, that's $400. So if it's going to take you 2 hours, you should charge somebody $400 to write a program. So if you're going to write a program for them and follow up with them, maybe it's $400 a month is what you need to charge, if that's what you charge per hour of your time. So what I'm getting at is make sure that you're not undervaluing yourself with these other services. Just because it's not considered physical therapy, it doesn't mean that you still aren't the one that is providing it, and your skill set demands a certain amount of revenue for your time, because it's an opportunity cost that you're losing out on by not being able to do these other things that involve direct patient care. Okay, so totally, if you want to train people, I think it's awesome. I think it's a great way to build your caseload really fast. If you can retain people, you don't have to get a lot of new patients. I mean, that's the reality. You can get a handful of new patients every month, and you can stabilize your schedule over the course of a 6 to 12 month period pretty well. But you have to just ask yourself, is this what you want to do? Are you happy while you do it? Are you good at it? Do you like doing it, right? And is there a demand for it? Are people asking about it? And is something that you want to fulfill on? So anyway, thanks for your questions. I appreciate it. As always, you can reach out to me on Instagram. It's Danny Matei PT. That's probably the best place to do it. If you got a question, I'd love to hear from you. If you listen to the podcast and you want to jump in a conversation that's back and forth, not just you listening to me, shoot me a message. I'd love to chat and meet, not necessarily digitally meet, I guess is the way to put it, as well. And just connect and hear from you. So guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast, and we'll catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.